The Man-Eater of Malgudi by R.K. Narayan, dramatized by William Ash, with Sam Dastoor as Nataraj.
My name is Nataraj. I live in Malgudi, a small town in South India. I am the town's main printer, and on Market Road, very near the house where I live with my wife and young son, is my print shop. The little parlor next to the press room looks out onto the fountain in the center of Malgudi. It's a pleasant place for people to stop for a rest and a chat on their way about the town. In fact, two friends of mine, the journalist Sen and the poet Kavi, have just come in.
Hello, Nataraj. Sen and I just happened to be in the neighborhood.
You're both welcome to stay as long as you like. But I must leave you soon. We've a very important order of three-color labels for KJ's aerated drinks to deal with. You know what KJ's like when he doesn't get something exactly when he wants it.
I thought old Sastri did all the actual work of printing. Once you'd got the orders, of course.
Mr. Sastri is extremely competent in all departments of printing and has served me faithfully these many years. But I assure you, whenever we're very busy, I lend a hand myself. Provided, of course, that my visitors can spare me.
Oh, come, Nataraj. Would we drop in on you like this if you didn't make us feel that we were always welcome here? I thought you'd want to hear the verses I've just written.
Have I ever failed to do justice to your poetry, Kavi? After all, it isn't every town that can boast an epic poet. Writing the life of the god Krishna, too, in verse. It's just that I must...
Why the monosyllabic verse?
Do you know anything about poetry, Sen? If not, kindly stick to journalism and just forget about literature.
I can appreciate what Kavi's doing. With monosyllables, you get such clear lyrical lines as the... Girls with girls did dance in trance.
Lost on Sen, I'm afraid.
And when you can't find a monosyllable for what you want to say?
He carves up polysyllables in the most remarkable way, so that the most familiar terms take on a mysterious quality.
That's all very well. But I don't see how people can stuff their heads full of poetry when this is going on.
He only comes here to read your newspapers, you know.
Sen is perfectly welcome to. Since he writes quite a bit of what they print, and not just the local papers either, we can't begrudge him the right to read them, can we? But I really
don't come here just to read the papers myself. I come here to interpret them for my friends.
Thank you very much.
Now you take this article on Nehru's third five-year plan.
You're not going to get started on Nehru again.
300 crores of rupees, I ask you. 300 crores of rupees. There's nothing in it for the country but ruin.
Some people have got in the habit of blaming everything on the government. They think democracy means that if there's no sugar in the shops, government is responsible. What if there's no sugar? Will we die if we don't have sugar for our coffee some days?
I, for one, can do without epic poetry a lot easier than I can do without sugar.
What is it, Mr. Sastri?
I thought you were coming in to fix that block on the machine for the second impression.
I was waiting for you to fix the block. Then I'll run off the second impression.
But I told you that I had to go home early to perform a puja.
Performing a religious ceremony is all very well and good, Mr. Sastri, but when we have this order to complete for KJ...
I have laid out the work so that this particular puja, which has to be performed today, and the three-color labels which have to be finished by this evening, will all get done.
All right. I'll get started on it. But you'll be back to help complete the job.
Of course. Who's there?
The big man standing near the fountain. He keeps looking this way.
I don't know. I've never seen him before.
You'd remember him if you had seen him before. He's huge. He doesn't belong to Malgudi, I know that.
He's coming here. Just look at the size of him.
You, Nataraj?
Yes?
I was told you were the man to see if I wanted to get some printing done.
That's right, Mr.
Vasu. That's the name. Vasu.
And what can I do for you, Mr. Vasu?
Read this.
H. Vasu, M.A., taxidermist. Taxidermist?
That's right. I want 500 sheets of notepaper and 500 visiting cards.
500? Are you sure you need 500 visiting cards? Couldn't you have 100 at a time printed? They'd be fresh then.
Don't you tell me. I am telling you. I know how many visiting cards I need.
I can print 10,000 if you want.
Good. Are these customers of yours?
Kavi here is... I'm a teacher in the school.
What do you teach?
Oh, history, geography, English. Anything the boys must know.
I'm an all-rounder myself.
Mm. Kavi's a poet. He's nominally a teacher, but actually...
I never read poetry. No time.
And Sen is...
I'm a journalist. I also am an M.A. in history.
I see.
If you wanted to know something about the present government...
I will go to a small town journalist.
I really think I ought to be going. I know how busy you are, Nataraj.
Yes,
and,
I ought to be getting along too. Pleased to meet you, Mr...
Vasu. The name's Vasu.
It must be an interesting job, the taxidermy. I don't think I've ever... Where is your office?
I hope to make a start right here. I became interested in the art when I was in Junagadh. I came across a master there, one Suleiman, and he taught me the art.
That really is very interesting, but...
After all, we are civilized human beings, aren't we? Educated and cultured, it's up to us to prove our superiority to nature. Science conquers nature in a new way each day. Why not in creation also? Why should we not show that we can make nature ourselves? That's my philosophy, sir. I challenge any man to contradict me.
I think you've got a point there, but...
Suleiman, he was a saint. He taught me sincerely everything he knew.
Oh.
You're wondering about my M.A., aren't you? I got it at Madras. You'd like to know more about me.
Some other time, I certainly would. But there's this important order...
I took my master's degree in 1931. I was involved in the civil disobedience movement against British rule and was in jail. And then in Nagpur, I met a strong man at a show. That man could bear a half-ton stone slab on his cheek and have it split by hammer strokes. He could snap steel chains and he could hit a block of hard granite with his fist and pulverize it. I was young then, and his strength appealed to me. I introduced myself to the strong man and begged him to let me become his disciple. He agreed. In a few months, I too could snap chains, twist iron bars, and pulverize granite. Gradually, he grew flabby and lazy and let me do everything. When I complained, he called me an ungrateful dog and tried to push me out.
Did he succeed?
Pushed me out? I knew his weak spot. I hit him there with the edge of my palm in a sharp chopping movement. And he lay squirming on the floor. I knew he could never perform again. I left him there, walked away, and gave up the strong man's life for good.
You didn't stop to help him?
I helped him by not holding him upside down and rattling his teeth out of his head.
But why did you treat him like that?
Because I was stronger than he was.
But he taught you to be strong. He was your guru.
He made money out of me.
But while you were being trained, he fed you. He taught you...
You know nothing about these things. You haven't seen the world. You only know what goes on in a miserable little place like this.
If you think this is such a miserable place, why did you choose to come here?
You think I'm coming to Malgudi out of admiration for it? I'm establishing myself here because of the jungles in the Mampi Hills. I'm a taxidermist. I have to be where wild animals live.
And die.
And die in droves. You are a smart guy.
Now I really must get on with my work.
When do I get my visiting cards? Tomorrow?
Tomorrow? We haven't talked about the typeface or anything yet. You'll have to come in tomorrow so that we can arrange everything. I told him to come in the next day and we'd sort out the details of the visiting cards he wanted printed. But that was last Tuesday and I haven't seen anything of him since.
Did he say anything about staying here in Malgudi?
What he said was that Malgudi was conveniently close to the Mempi forest, which is full of the wild animals he needs.
I don't think he's the sort of person we want here in Malgudi.
He's a bit of a bully, Sen, but I think it's just a question of standing up to him.
Speak of the devil!
Do you see him, Kavi?
He's getting out of the jeep.
Nataraj, I've come for my cards.
But
Look here.
I ordered 500 visiting cards, and you told me to come in the next day.
What I said was that we would have to agree about the type, quality of paper, and so forth, and that if you'd come in the next day, all that could be done. Where have you been the last week?
Away. Busy. Some of us work, you know.
I've been busy, too. Satri, please bring those ivory card samples, and also the 10-point copper plate.
I see your two hangers-on are still here. You know, I think that chair would suit me best. The others are too small.
Yes, of course. Do sit here.
And how is the great expert on the 5-year plan? You know, Natraj, if he's so much wiser than Nehru, why doesn't he try to become the Prime Minister of India?
I was exercising my right to comment on public matters. Is there no freedom of speech?
If you feel superior to Nehru, why don't you go to Delhi and take charge of the cabinet?
Are you making fun of me because you think I'm afraid of you?
No, wait a minute. We're all friends. I won't have any fighting in here.
Where then?
Nowhere. Nowhere in Malgudi, I hope.
I won't have him thinking I'm frightened of his size. Are you threatening to hit me?
No, sir. You see this fist? I could settle many problems with this, but I don't. If I hit you with it, that would be the end of you. Mind you, that doesn't mean I might not give you a kick up the arse if you become a nuisance.
Come, Cabby. We'll find some place else to continue our discussion.
I don't really think you...
People must take me as I am. That's the only honest way to face the world.
Ah, Sati. These are the sample cards you can choose from. And this is the type book.
They all look alike to me. Just tell your staff to get on with whatever you think is best.
So you trust me?
I trust you as a friend. Otherwise, I wouldn't have come to you in the first place.
Well, that's fine then. You know, I welcome friends rather than customers. I'm not a fellow who cares for money. If anyone comes to me for pure business, I tell them they ought to find another printer. Was there something else, Thursday?
The waste paper buyer has been looking at all that stuff in the attic.
There's an attic above the press which is full of old newspapers, files of dead correspondence and accounts, and thousands of copies of a school magazine we used to print. Nobody's been up there for years, and I decided to have it all cleared out.
Natraj, you have to watch these empty bottle and old paper men. They'll shoot you if they can.
Send him in, Sasti.
Very well.
Yes, sir. You've looked through all that paper in the attic?
Yes, sir. There's scorpions up there, maybe even snakes.
But you've arrived at an estimate of what the paper's worth.
Most of it is old, very old and completely brown.
You don't think I'd have called you in if it was new and white and ready for use, do you?
The best offer I can make, sir, is 25 rupees.
25 rupees? We'd have done better to use it to save firewood.
But this old man will be clearing all that paper out for you. I suppose I go up with him and see what I think his loot is really worth.
Would you, Vasu? That would be very kind of you.
Isn't that what friends are for, Natraj?
You don't approve, Sastri.
It's not for me to say.
What do you think of Vasu?
Ah, it's all right, sir. The gentleman says 25 rupees is a fair price. Here you are. I'll move out all the paper and carry it away in my car. The gentleman would like for you to come up to the attic, sir.
Good heavens, Basu. You seem to fill the whole room.
Very snug. That old man's doing you a favor to clear out all this rubbish. The only thing is that in sorting through it, he stirred up 1,000 mosquitoes. It's the one thing I can't stand, mosquitoes. Night or day, at the very mention of mosquitoes, I run.
Here, let me open the window. I'd forgotten what a nice view of the fountain you get from up here.
What do you propose to do with this place?
Well,
I'll clean it up and stay here for a while. It's a good place to dump my things. Of course, I'll have to get a mosquito net for sleeping in, a bed and a couple of chairs. The roof comes down too low. I'll have to be careful not to bump my head. Still, it'll do for now. Well, why don't you say something?
I just never thought of this attic as habitable.
I thought of it. I'll stay here until a bungalow is vacated for me nearer the Mempi forest.
Well? I don't know.
Do you mean you don't know? Isn't this your place to do it as you please?
Yes, I suppose so. Are we close? clear to deal with the wedding invitation, Sastri. The adjournment lawyer is an important man in Malgudi. We don't want anything to go wrong over his daughter's wedding invitations.
I can't speak for things going wrong or not. I can hardly concentrate on my work with that man pounding up and down the stairs at any time of day or night.
Vasu's only staying in the attic till he gets a proper bungalow of his own.
You should never have let him move in on us, if I may say so.
Well, I didn't exactly let him, did I?
And have you agreed all the details of the wedding invitations with the lawyer? We'll be pushed to get all of them done in time.
He's coming here in about 10 minutes. I'll call you when he comes, so you can be here while we go over everything. Ah, there he is now.
That's not the lawyer. That's your tenant.
Come outside a minute.
I can't. I'm busy.
Come on. It won't take long. Get in the car.
I can't. Someone is coming to see me in just a few minutes on a very important business matter.
Get in.
I tell you, I can't. Where are you going?
I'll have you back in 10 minutes. Can't you spare 10 minutes for my sake?
No.
All right. 5 minutes then.
Only 5 minutes. Hey, not so fast.
You said you were in a hurry to get back.
Where are you taking me?
I thought you might like a visit to Mempi.
To Mempi? But I told you I had a very important appointment. He'll be waiting for me at my office now.
So, you don't like being with me?
Look out!
Ah, let Cam look out.
You almost hit that old woman.
I tell you, many more people will have to die on the road if our nation is to develop any road sense.
Do you realize that you're keeping me from dealing with the wedding arrangements of one of Malgudi's most important families?
Ha! Only fools marry, and they deserve all the trouble they get. I don't know why people marry at all. If you like a woman, have her by all means. You don't have to have a coffee estate because you like a cup of coffee now and then.
Are you kidnapping me? I can tell you my wife hasn't the money to pay a ransom.
So you think I'm carrying you off against your will, huh? All right, get out.
But we're miles from anywhere.
Stop complaining, then.
Is this Mempi town?
Nearly. This is the office of somebody I want you to meet.
Who is it?
Ramaswamy, the forestry officer of the Mempi Hills.
Ah, so it's you, Vasu.
Natraj, this is the man I was telling you about. A truly great man. Why? He is Mempi Forest. He knows and has numbered every beast. He's fearless. You know, he has killed rogue elephants and man-eating tigers.
I have only done my duty. Won't you come in?
No, we haven't time. My friend's in a great hurry. He's the one I was telling you about. He can print that little book of yours.
No, wait a minute.
He's the one, is he? I'll just get the manuscript.
Now, look here. What are you letting me in for?
You did all that printing for me.
Which you haven't paid me a single paisa for.
You said you preferred friendly to business relationships, remember? So, as a friend, I'm putting you in the way of this job for the forestry officer.
Here you are. It's all here. My golden thoughts. I've been collecting them for years. From the Bhagavad Gita, the Upanishads, from Shakespeare, from Mahatma Gandhi. I want to bring them out in book form and distribute them to the school children. Free of charge. That is how I want to serve my country.
Ah, yes. Well, of course, you want to make sure that there'll be no mistakes at all in something like that. Before giving it to me, don't you think you ought to go over it again very carefully?
Oh, I have.
It would be even better if someone else went over it with a fine-tooth comb. How about Vasu here?
What a good idea!
Ramaswamy, I'm a very busy man.
But there is that little matter of a game permit. If you were checking over the manuscript of my book, I'd have time to make it out for you.
Oh, all right. Give it to me.
Here you are, Vasuji. Thank you. Goodbye.
So, that's what all this has been about. You just wanted me to do a favor for the forestry officer so he'd give you a game permit.
Isn't that what friends are for?
Are you going to take me back to Malgudi now?
Of course. Oh, we'll just stop at the tea shop in the village. You want some refreshment after such a long ride?
I could do with a cup of tea.
Raj, this is my friend Muthu who owns the tea shop. Sir Muthu, what's the news?
Good news. There was a prowler last night. We saw pug marks in the sand and the sheep were bleating as if they'd gone mad.
Where? Near here? I'll go at once.
Vasu, will you kindly give me some money so I can get some tea and something to eat?
I came away without my purse or anything.
Not now, Nataraj. Can't you see I'm busy? Where were the pug marks?
Just up the mountain road, not far.
I go at once.
Vasu, come back. Give me some money at least, Vasu.
It's no use. When he's on the track of a tiger, nothing else matters to him.
I've got to get back to Malgudi. Is there a bus I can catch?
Not till 9 o'clock tonight.
But I won't get home till midnight.
You're welcome to stay in my shop till the bus comes. All the buses stop at my tea shop.
Well, that's very kind of you, only...
You've come away without any money. I heard you calling out to Vasu. Well, sir, you needn't worry about that. Please, be my guest.
It isn't just paying you for something to eat and for some tea. I don't even have any money for the bus ticket. I wouldn't have you think that I usually go about this way without so much as a paisa in my pocket. I own a very respectable printing business in Malgudi. It's just...
You're a printer! I'm so happy to meet you. Can you print some notices for me?
Oh, with the greatest pleasure. I'm here to serve the public. I can print anything you want.
Oh, that's very good. Let me get you some idlis and dosas and tea, or would you rather have coffee? And don't worry about your ticket. I know all the drivers. I'll explain that you'll pay at the other end.
This is very kind of you.
Well, we businessmen must stick together. I'm a self-made man, you know.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yes. I came to Mempi as a boy of 12 looking for work. I was employed on a tea plantation owned by an English company until it changed hands at the time of the independence.
Really?
Then I had a small shop selling betel nuts, peppermint and tobacco.
Mm-hmm.
When construction work started on a dam near here, I expanded into a tea shop, which has prospered, as you can see. And do you know why?
Hard work and good service for your customers?
All that, of course. But the real reason... Come here a moment. Do you see that shrine above the tree?
Yes, I do.
That's why everything has gone so well. The goddess protects us. I rebuilt the temple with my own funds. I have regular pujas perform there. We even have a temple elephant. He came years ago of his own accord, straying down from the hills with a herd of cattle that had been grazing up there. He was only about 6 months old then, no bigger than a young buffalo. We adopted him for the temple. His name is Kuma. And the children and elders alike all adore him and feed him with coconut and sugar cane and rice all day.
Well, that's very interesting.
We're about to celebrate the consecration of the temple on a grand scale, carrying the goddess in a procession with pipes and music, led by Kuma, our elephant. That's why I'm so glad to meet a printer like you. We'll want at least 1,000 notices printed.
Oh, I can handle that without any difficulty at all. When is the celebration?
We'll have to discuss it at a meeting of the temple committee, but I can tell them we don't have to worry about the notices.
And it'll be all right about my not having the money for my bus ticket?
Perfectly all right. But don't you think you ought to wait for Vasu to come back? You know what he's like.
I have my own business to run. An adjournment lawyer whose daughter is getting married has been waiting in my office for 4 or 5 hours now to settle the matter of wedding invitations. So, you see, I can't be at Vasu's beck and call. I'm not afraid of him, you know. We're, friends.
So I have to get up in the middle of the night to feed you? And you didn't even say you were going out of town.
I didn't know, did I, Kamla? Suddenly I found myself in Memphis stranded without any money.
It's all because of that man you're taken in as a lodger. Honestly, I don't dare to send Babu around to fetch you for meals anymore. That man threatened him once. Your own son, too terrified to go into the place where his father works. Why didn't you discuss it with me before letting him move into the attic?
You know I don't discuss business matters with you.
Is this a business matter? When your own family is barred from your own printer?
Careful! You've stepped on Babu's cat.
Come here, Tara. Nice, Tara.
Just stay out from underfoot, Tara. So I can hear your lord and master his midnight fist.
I'm sorry, Kamla. And I have to get out to the office first thing tomorrow morning to put things right with our adjournment lawyer.
We waited till 9 last night.
I've always told you that you should lock up at your usual time, whether I'm in or not.
But the lawyer wouldn't move. He kept saying you promised to be here to see him at 9 o'clock in the morning, and he went on waiting till you came. And then he began saying that it didn't make any difference whether you came or not, because he would get the invitations printed elsewhere. And then...
Oh, stop that, Sasti. If I disappear abruptly, it was my own business. Why should I be expected to give an explanation to everyone?
That man Vasu's business, more like...
Bring me the original draft of the invitations for the wedding.
I'll take it round to the lawyers and get the whole thing sorted out.
Would you look at that?
What?
On the back seat of Fossil's Jeep, the enormous head of a tiger.
Oh, no.
I've done it. I've bagged my tiger. Do you know what he measures? 10.5 feet from tip to tip. The head is almost 18 inches wide.
And you're going to take all that up to the attic?
How else would I stuff him?
But you haven't got your permit yet.
The tiger didn't object. There won't be any trouble about a license now that you're printing the forestry officer's golden thought for him. Natraj, come out to the car. I want to show it to you.
I don't choose to come anywhere near your car if it's all the same to you.
Oh, you are thinking about yesterday. But it was worth it, wasn't it? I got my tiger. You know, I spent the early hours of this morning bleeding, skinning and cleaning it. The skin, in perfect shape, is pickled in salt. I'll drive around to the back and take it all up to my room.
Can you imagine what that little room is getting to be like? He's already stuffed a lot of smaller animals, you know. They're spilling over onto the stairs. Have you seen that hyena on the landing? The first time I saw it there, its eyes glittering, it gave me a turn.
I'm sure I can't be bothered by stuffed animals.
Maybe you aren't bothered by the foul odors coming down from there either. Sometimes it's so bad in the print room, I can hardly work.
I must say, Sastri, I would have expected a bit more patience with life's day-to-day difficulties from someone as devout as you're supposed to be. It goes on and on. Every time I hear that jeep arrive, I know that some new blood-covered object is going to be carried up to that room. Who'd have thought that one day my print shop would be converted into a charnel house?
I don't see how so many dead animals can be crowded into such a small space.
But they don't stay up there, then. He sells them. From this humble town of Malgudi, from my little print shop, stuffed carcasses radiate to the four corners of the earth. When I think of the way I was brought up, we were taught never to kill anything. When we swatted flies, we had to do it without the knowledge of our elders. Why, I remember one of my granduncles who used to give me a coin every morning to buy sugar for the ants and made sure I put the sugar in various corners of the house so that the ants could get it. You must never scare away the crows and sparrows that share our food, he used to say. They have as much right as we to the corn that grows in the fields. And now I find myself the master of an abattoir. What am I going to do?
You certainly have a problem.
I have a problem? I thought friends were for the purpose of sharing problems.
Well, I've stood up to him. More than others I could mention. The trouble is, he's so strong and he's not afraid of anything.
Except mosquitoes.
Mosquitoes?
Mosquitoes seem to drive him wild. I thought of trying to fill the place with mosquitoes. But he'll find ways of keeping them out of the attic. You can't think of anything, can you, when it isn't a problem that can't be blamed directly on the Nehru government?
You shouldn't have let things drift. As a nation, we are what we are today because of our lack of a positive grip over our affairs. It's this policy of drift. That's our curse.
Thank you very much. What about you, Kavi? Are you going to suggest that I should read some of your cantos to him to drive him out?
Why don't you raise the rent?
Because I'm not renting it to him, that's why. He doesn't pay me a paisa for that room. I let him have it as... well, as a friend, I guess.
Then you can surely tell him to go?
No, why not? That's what my wife says. Tell him to go. Babu is frightened of him, so you ought to tell him to go. But if either of you had any understanding of the situation at all, you'd realize it isn't as easy as that. There. Every time I hear that sound, it sends a shudder through me. It makes me feel that none of this really belongs to me anymore. It's been taken over by some kind of demon.
Well, you know he's up there now. You just have to go up and tell him that this is your place and that he must find somewhere else.
I suppose I must. I don't suppose either of you would like to come with me. No, that's all right. I have to do it on my own.
What is it?
Natraj.
What do you want?
I have to talk to you.
Come in. You can see how busy I am. Every day I don't fill with work is a day completely wasted.
Good heavens. This room is full of dead things. Jungle squirrels, all kind of birds.
Yes, isn't it?
And you can see through the mosquito netting how I've rigged up a line on the terrace for drying skins. And there are more skins soaking in that tub in the corner.
But the smell!
The smell of honest toil, Nataraj.
I don't see how you can stand that awful stench.
Nataraj, don't pretend you are endowed with more sensitive nostrils than anyone else. Don't make out yourself superior to the rest of us. This is a democracy, remember?
Oh, look at that poor eagle.
Yes, hasn't it turned out well?
But don't you know that it's sacred? Garuda, the messenger of the god Vishnu?
I want to make Vishnu use his feet now and then.
It may be nothing to you, but people stop in the road and look up admiringly when this bird circles in the sky.
You know, there's probably a good business proposition here. I can supply stuffed eagles at about 50 rupees each. Everybody can keep a sacred Garuda for pujas. And I guarantee that it won't fly off. You know, I want to be of service to religious folk. In my own way, of course.
Oh, no.
What's the matter now?
That's Babu's cat. That's Tara.
Ah, yes, I needed it for study. It's the same family as the tiger. It's helping me make my full mood.
But that cat belonged to my little son. You had no right to shoot it.
I saw it wandering around the press room. I had no idea it belonged to anybody. Now, what was it you wanted to talk to me about? Because I'm busy.
Vasu, I don't want you to misunderstand me, but have you been able to find a suitable house?
Why do you ask?
I just thought I'd ask, that's all.
This place suits me well enough for the time being.
Well, now that's the problem. You see, I require this place for...
For what?
Well, someone is... That's it, someone is coming to stay with us.
Tell me, Nataraj. How many rooms in your own house are occupied?
Do we need to go into all that now?
Yes, we do.
This person, this relative I'm speaking about, likes to stay by himself.
Would anybody seek solitude above a noisy press room?
Well, you see...
Listen to me. For years, you did nothing more than household paper up here. Now, I've made it slightly habitable, you're getting ideas. Do you know how much it cost me to clear out the cobwebs and furnish it? The mosquitoes and the vermin would eat you alive if it weren't for the netting I've hung about and the rat traps I've set.
Do you stuff them too?
And in hot weather like now, this room is a baking oven. I tell you, no one but me would agree to live in a place like this.
Does that mean you'll be trying to find some place that's more suitable than my attic?
It means that you are very lucky to have found somebody who was willing to take on this filthy little storeroom of yours, who was prepared to turn it into a place not fit for me to live in, perhaps, but fit for me to work in.
I see.
Now, was there anything else? Because I am very, very busy.
Sastri!
What is it?
This official-looking letter just came for me. Will you please read it?
It says you have to show just cause why proceedings should not be instituted against you.
I know, but why? I can't believe it.
It says that you gave part of your printing establishment for the occupation without sanction of one Mr. Vasu, and that you are now trying to evict said tenant by illegal means.
But that's ridiculous.
Did you tell him to get out? You ought to have long ago.
I went up to that room last week sometime and asked him to leave. He practically threw me out.
This paper also accuses you of not maintaining this building in a habitable condition and of involving the said tenant in considerable expense.
But that's absurd, Sastri. Can I just ignore it?
I don't think you can ignore something that's legal. They can put you in jail for that.
I know. I'll consult the adjournment lawyer.
Consulting lawyers can be an expensive business.
Has he paid for the wedding invitations yet?
Not a pesa.
Well then, he can advise me what to do, and I'll set his bill off against our bill.
There he goes.
Carrying some poor murdered denizen of the forest up to his lair.
And stinking up this whole section of town. People are beginning to complain, you know.
Maybe they'll take out proceedings against him.
The proceedings would be against you. It's your property.
This is impossible. How can it be my property when I no longer have the disposal of it? Oh, go on, say it. My wife always does. I've no one to blame but myself.
Why do you stand up for that man? He's taken over your room without paying you anything for it. He hasn't paid anything at all for all the letterheads and visiting cards and business forms we have printed for him. And he's going to make trouble for you with the rest of Malgudi.
I don't stand up for him. It's just that... I'll tell you something about me, Sastri. I can't be an enemy to anyone. I'm no good at it. As a schoolboy, if there was another boy I was supposed to be on terms of hate and hostility with, I'd follow him around like a shadow. I felt desperately uneasy for as long as our enmity lasted. I made myself abject in order to win a favorable look or word, and was constantly on the lookout for a chance to tell him I wanted to be friends with him again. It bothered me like a toothache.
But what we have here isn't a schoolmate you've fallen out with and want to make it up with again. Let me quote a Sanskrit proverb for you. To deal with a rakshasa, one must possess the marksmanship of a hunter, the wit of a pundit, and the guile of a harlot.
Rakshasa? Demonic creature? Really, Sastri?
He conforms to all the definitions of rakshasa. Enormous strength, strange powers, a kind of genius for destruction, and no recognition of the moral restraints of either man or God. People think such creatures only existed in Vedic times. But they turn up in contemporary history, don't they? Men like Hitler with a genius for evil.
If there were anything in what you're saying, what could we do? The marksmanship is with him, not us. When he's depleted the Mempi forest of its creatures, maybe he'll become tame again and leave us alone.
That won't happen. But every Rakshasa gets swollen with his ego. He thinks he's invincible beyond every law. But sooner or later, something or other will destroy him.
And meanwhile, there's nothing we can do.
Oh, we can perform pujas. We can pray to the gods.
But from whence came the Rakshasa's great strength and cunning, if not from the gods?
Our pundits have thought deeply about that. And I could quote to you from the Upanishads, but instead I will remind you of the story of Bhasmasura, of the greatest of the Rakshasa.
There's those admission cards for the high school graduation.
This won't take long, and it's very relevant. Bhasmasura, remember, had by some means acquired a special boon, according to which everything he touched was scorched, while nothing could ever destroy him. Armed with this power, he made humanity suffer untold evil. God Vishnu was incarnated as a dancer of great beauty named Mohini, with whom the Rakshasa became infatuated. Mohini promised to yield to him only if he imitated all the gestures and movements of her dance. At one point, she placed her palms on her head. The Rakshasa followed this gesture in complete forgetfulness and was reduced to ashes that very second.
So there it is, Nataraj. My epic poem practically completed. The marriage of Krishna and Radha has just been celebrated. All in monosyllables, of course.
Yes, splendid. You know, Kavi, since your poem celebrates the marriage of a god, why shouldn't we celebrate that poetic celebration? A Malgudi religious festival in your honor.
What a good idea. Very auspicious.
And of course, we've something else to celebrate then. The first issue of your new sheet ought to be coming out soon.
Why don't I bring out the first issue in time to announce the festival?
Come in.
Namaskar.
Muthu.
Namaskar.
I told you about Muthu, who owns the tea shop in Mempi. He was so helpful to me that day I was practically kidnapped. These are my friends. Sen, who's a journalist.
Nice to meet you.
And Malgudi's poet, Kavi.
How do you do, sir?
You haven't come to see Vasu.
No, we helped that man so much. But he thinks we informed on him to the forestry officer. He came and created a scene at my shop and threatened us with a gun. And now he doesn't have anything to do with us.
It's all for the best if a Rakshasa ceases to notice you.
Oh, yes.
What I came to see you about is our elephant. You remember Kumar? You couldn't see him that day. He was grazing in the jungle. But I told you all about him and what an important member of our community he is.
Yes.
Well, he's fallen sick.
Oh, what a shame. He's the nicest elephant. The children all love him and keep feeding him sugarcane.
We want your help. Kumar needs medical attention.
Well, I don't know. Our doctor, Dr. Rao of Town Medical Stores, is very good. But I don't know how he'd react to an elephant in his clinic.
No. We've heard of a government hospital for animals recently opened. We think it's somewhere near here.
It's a veterinary college on the other bank of the Sirayu. A deputy minister opened it several months ago with a long speech on the importance of ahimsa and the role of animals in the human economy.
I must have missed it. I suppose it's a question of how to get Kumar there. What seems to be wrong with him?
He's not taking his food at all. He shuns it. I came to you because more than others, I knew you'd be able to do something for us. You were kind enough to say I could ask you for any help. Poor Kumar. He used to be so lively. Now he seems to get cramps. He lies down on his belly and howls. Have you ever seen an elephant lie down? He has to be coaxed and cajoled to accept a bowl of cooked rice.
Isn't there anybody around there who knows about elephants?
There's the Mahout. We get to ride him in celebrations. But nobody's seen him recently. Do you think you could come to Mempi with me and see what's to be done? We could also talk about the printing for our temple dedication ceremony.
Oddly enough, we've just been talking about the festival we are going to have here to celebrate the completion of Mr. Kavi's Krishna epic.
When's that to be?
In about 3 weeks' time.
We might consider having a joint celebration, if that would suit you.
Oh, yes. I'd like as many people to be there as possible.
That's splendid. I'll come to Mempi with you then, Mutu. Can you put me up for the night?
Of course. We'll be very glad to have you.
There he is.
Just lying there. He's been like that for 3 days now, flopped down like a dog. His legs stretched out, his trunk and tail limp on the ground.
And he won't eat?
This boy will show you. Try to give him something, Anand.
He ought to be seen by a vet. Someone at that government veterinary college just outside Malgudi. Can he be got on his feet?
Kumar can't walk all that way, not in his condition. Can't the elephant doctor come here?
I don't know. Maybe the elephant doctor can't do tests or make up the right prescriptions without all his equipment. Look,
the Mahout is back. He'll know what to do.
Hey, why is Kumar lying down like that?
That's what we'd like to know. He's been like that for 3 days.
I'll ask him. He's a secret old fellow. Hey, keep back. Keep back. He doesn't want a big audience for what he has to say to me.
Kumar's whispering to him.
Will someone get me a mangrove switch? I've yet to see an animal that won't get up if I stick to the underside of him with a mangrove switch. Ah, that's fine. Now, Kumar, just feel that, eh? More? All right. Now let me get up behind your head. That's it. Now, Kumar, up. That's it. Up. Up.
Is he all right?
He's not all right. But we can make it to the veterinary college as long as we take it slowly.
Good. I'll have the elephant doctor waiting for you outside of town.
It'll take us a couple of days. Hey, Kumar.
Thank you, Nakaraj. You've been such a help to us.
Sasti! Sasti, shut it off, please!
I want you to look at these designs for our festival poster.
Four colors.
Can we do it? In the next few days, I mean.
It'll mean dropping everything else.
Well, our festival ought to take precedence over everything else, Sasti. What's that?
That's Vrangi. All sorts of low-class women are in and out of that room up there.
Oh, no. If my wife gets to hear about this...
Vrangi is the main one. You know about Vrangi.
How would I know about someone like that? Who is she?
She's the daughter of Padma, who used to be a dancer attached to the Krishna temple. Vrangi has succeeded her there. Before that, she joined a drama troupe which toured the villages. She's quite notorious. Her mother was a traditional dedicated woman of the temple who took one or two wealthy lovers. Rangi seduces every man she sets eyes on. You're wondering how I know so much about her. Remember, I live in that Abu Lane district too.
I may have seen her in the street recently. Dark, rather plump, overloaded with jewelry.
That Rangi, throwing her head back in laughter, just like a man.
So, now as well as running an abattoir, we'll also be known as running a brothel. Oh, don't say it, Sastri. It's all my fault for letting him come here in the first place. I've just been discussing the festival poster with Sastri. This will give you an idea of how it's going to look.
I like it. The picture of Kavi makes him look about 20 years old.
So I was when I began my epic poem.
For the first issue of my news sheet, I've got a review of Kavi's Radha Kalyan by one of our local pundits.
I hope it's favorable.
Oh, it is. I helped him write it. How's the elephant getting on?
Very well. I was at the Animal Welfare College yesterday, and they say Kumar's going to be all right. So we'll have a fully caparisoned elephant for our procession.
This is going to be a festival they'll talk about in these parts for many, many years to come.
The sound of Vasu's feet. It's beginning to sound like the crack of doom to me. You two haven't heard anything about, well, odd comings and goings in this place, have you?
Now that you mention it, I did hear.
Vasu!
I see your two chair fixtures are here.
They're my guests, if you don't mind.
I'm glad to see they're actually doing something. Even if it's only bringing out news sheets and publishing poetry. That's what I'd like to see in my fellow countrymen. Spirit. If we'd shown more spirit, we wouldn't have fallen prey to every invader that's passed this way.
Showing spirit doesn't mean being a blustering bully.
Bravo. Even Natraj is showing some spirit. When you were in Memphis, did you see the forestry officer?
We may have exchanged a few words. I had other business to attend to then.
I know. That elephant. Well, you can forget about bringing out the forestry officer's golden thoughts. I finally received the post this permit he promised me. It says, H. Basu, licensed to trap small game and take parties of sightseers into Mempi Forest. Did he ask you about my activities?
Well, he did take an interest in...
Forget about that man. I'll deal with him in due course. And instead of that absurd book of quotations he wanted you to print, you can bring out a book I've been working on.
Oh.
It's a monograph on wildlife. Every day, our papers are full of speeches and meetings on problems of preserving wildlife. Most of them don't know what they're talking about. Amateurs are invading every field. Let a professional preserver of animal life have his proper say. I want my book ready for the conference on wildlife at the end of the year.
But you haven't paid me for any of the work I've already done for you.
Money isn't everything, Natraj, but it is important sometimes. You're going to have to raise quite a bit of money from local merchants for that festival you're organizing. Tell you what, I'll take over the fundraising for you. The way to get money out of these merchants is to hold them up by their feet and shake them till their teeth rattle.
Well, Sasti, everything seems ready. I never thought we'd make it.
I just hope nothing goes wrong.
You ought to go home, Sastri. It's late and you've had a tiring day.
You too, if I may say so.
I'll just finish casting up these accounts.
See you tomorrow, then.
What is that?
Oh.
You're Rangi, aren't you?
Not so loud.
What do you mean?
You'll wake him.
What do you mean, approaching me at this hour of the night? What kind of a man do you think I am? And besides, my wife is just across the way. Suppose she saw me talking to you.
Listen to me, sir. I have urgent news for you.
Couldn't you have spoken to me earlier in the day?
I had to wait till he dropped off to sleep. Listen, he is talking of shooting your Kumar tomorrow night at the height of the festival.
Oh, no. Even Vasu couldn't do that.
He could and he would. I had to tell you. Ever since he got better, that elephant has become part of the life of our temple. I am also a woman of the temple, and I love that elephant. Kumar is going to be the major attraction at the festival.
I know. That's why I arranged it.
Sir, you must see that he doesn't do it. Oh, please, please save the elephant.
How can I shield an elephant? You can't get armor plating to fit an elephant. How do I know you're in your right senses? You haven't been taking opium or something, have you?
Sir, I'm only a public woman following what is my dharma. I may be a sinner to you, but I do nothing worse than what some of you so-called family women are doing. And whatever I do, I don't take opium.
I'm sorry. It's just that it's so unbelievable. What exactly did he say to you?
Tomorrow night, when the procession passes this way, he will shoot the elephant from his window.
But why?
He says it is more useful dead. He may kill me for speaking, but I don't care. I want to save poor Kumar.
But why did he tell you all this?
He doesn't want me to go in the procession. He says it'll be dangerous for me.
I never thought Vasu would have such consideration for another person.
He wants to take me with him when he leaves.
He must love you very much.
He wants me to cook for him. He likes the pulao I make.
But you're not going to stay away from the procession. You're supposed to dance along the way.
I will be there. It is my duty.
And Vasu's command that you stay away?
Let him say what he pleases. No man so far has stopped me from doing what I like. But what are you going to do to save Kumar?
Neither you nor Kumar need have any fear. I'll hand that devil over to the police.
Before he's done anything, they'll just laugh at you.
I'll do something.
You better had. I must get back before he wakes up.
I forgot to tell you, Sastri, not to come in this morning. There's nothing more for us to do here, nothing more for you to do. Take your family out for the day and enjoy yourself.
Aren't you coming to the festival with your wife and little Babu?
Later.
There's something I've got to do first. I've got to see Vasu.
Why now? You have to do something about him, it's true. But can't it wait till after the festival?
This can't.
Well, you be careful. One has to take great care in dealing with a Rakshasa.
Who is it?
Me, Nataraj.
Come in, come in. It's a long time since you've done me the honor of calling on me in my own room.
Well, my wife was preparing some food to take to the temple grounds today, and we thought perhaps you'd like some.
Good. I'm hungry, too.
Also, the festival committee, would like for you, as a local celebrity, to join in the procession tonight.
Right. Look at this tiger cub. I just finished it yesterday. Isn't it a beauty?
It's tiny.
Yes. It must have lost its mother and was looking for her. I solved its problem, you see. Doesn't it look cute?
But couldn't you have kept it?
Nataraj, keeping animals costs money. I'm no zookeeper. You know how much I'll get for this stuffed cub? About 2,000 rupees.
I see. But what about her invitation to you to join in the procession tonight?
Mm. Look through that window. That is the town fountain. The procession will be passing right by it. I can see everything from here.
But wouldn't you like to be a part of the celebrations?
Listen, your whole crowd makes me sick. Do you think that I give a damn about a protester obsessed with monosyllables? Or that cheap local Nehru? All of you joining together to waste everybody's time and money. If I had the authority, I'd prohibit celebrations like this as a waste of national energy.
But you seemed enthusiastic to begin with. You even offered to help us raise money.
I'm always enthusiastic about raising money.
Vasu, I have come to appeal to you not to harm our elephant tonight.
Who's been gossiping, I wonder? Has that bitch been talking to you?
What bitch?
That woman, Rangi. I'll wring her neck. All right. Suppose I decide to shoot the elephant. What can you do about it?
What has that poor elephant done to you?
Has it occurred to you how much more a dead elephant is worth? I can make 10,000 rupees out of that animal.
Then why don't you shoot an elephant in the forest? If you shoot a wild one, no one will blame you.
Your elephant will be wild enough, don't worry.
What do you mean?
That Kumar is mad already. Have you ever observed his eyes? See the red streak in his little eyes? That means at the slightest provocation, he'll go raving mad. You will thank me for my services.
What sort of provocation?
A gun going off, perhaps?
Whatever horrible plans you may have, just remember there will be thousands of people around, men, women and children pulling the chariot right behind the elephant.
Let them go home like good citizens at a reasonable hour.
Who are you to say when they should go home?
Let them go or stay. I was just thinking of what was best for them. If that elephant runs wild...
But don't you see that if you...
I've had enough of this. What business have you here with me, Anatwaj? It's not your elephant, is it? I'm not bound to tell you my business. If people are concerned about the elephant, let them lock it away. That won't bother me.
Vasu, you're a human being with feelings like any of us. I'm sure you only pretend to be so fierce and uncaring.
That's sentimental rubbish. I like people with a scientific outlook.
What's scientific about the terrible plans you have?
You use the word terrible and get carried away with it. There is nothing terrible in shooting. You pull your trigger and out goes the bullet. And at the other end, there is an object waiting to receive it. It's just give and take. That's the scientific outlook.
It may be science, but what if the object at the other end doesn't deserve to be brought down?
If an animal goes on a rampage, it has to be brought down. That's scientific. If you'd read that book of mine on wildlife, the one you're printing for me, you'd realize that only an expert can tell when an animal has passed the frontier between normal behavior and madness. You'll have to go now. This is my busy day.
Vasu, I beseech you.
Get out!
It's a wonderful festival. We are all enjoying ourselves. And yet you pull such a long face.
I have something to worry about.
You should have left all that behind today. Babu comes up all excited to tell you something. And you hardly pay any attention to him.
That's very wrong of me. Where is he?
He's over there, watching the Mahout get Kumar ready for the procession.
I'll go over there with him.
Don't you children make so much noise? Kumar can't hear me when I tell him to get down on his knees.
There you are, Babu.
Are you watching Kumar get his tusks painted for tonight?
Hello, sir. You see how well Kumar is now?
You don't think there's any danger of his, well, getting frightened by the fireworks or something and acting a bit, you know, mad?
Not Kumar. He loves the crowds and the excitement. He loves to lead a procession.
We don't want anything to happen to him, do we?
Nothing's going to happen to Kumar. I've been telling the children the story about the mythological elephant, Gajendra, who stepped into a lake and had his leg caught in the jaws of a mighty crocodile. He desperately called on Vishnu, who immediately appeared and endowed Gajendra with such strength that he broke away from the crocodile and climbed out on the shore.
Oh, may Vishnu preserve Kumar.
Do you know that woman there?
Certainly not.
She is a temple dancer, I think. She certainly seems to be trying to attract your attention.
Oh, I'll go over and tell her she mustn't try to talk to strange men like that.
Why are you contacting me here where everybody can see us?
I was worried about you, sir. Basu seems to have gone wild.
Oh, that's very thoughtful of you. I saw him and argued with him, and a lot of good it did. But he didn't hit me or anything.
He came to my house while I was at the temple and demanded that I go and see him.
Don't do it. He suspects you may have told me about his plan to kill the elephant. Don't go near him. Stay with the crowd.
I don't obey him. He has threatened to set fire to my house. To my poor mother there.
All the same, you mustn't see him. I'll have the police guard your house.
But maybe if you see him, I can get him in a mood to listen to me. I'll cook some of his favorite pulao and to take it to him. Maybe I can persuade him not to kill Kumar.
But you know what he's like. If he thinks of something, he has to do it, and nothing in heaven or hell can stop him.
A woman in my position has her way. I'll go to him before I have to get ready for the procession.
Please be careful. I don't want anything to happen to you.
And I don't want anything to happen to Kumar.
I explained to her that she must never again hail an utter stranger like that.
Come, Babu. I'm taking you home so you can have something to eat and a rest before we watch the procession tonight.
Wait for me. I'll come with you. Then don't wait. What am I going to do? Who can do anything now? Oh, Vishnu, save our elephant and save all the innocent men and women who are going to pull the chariot. Lord Vishnu, you must come to our rest.
Lord, what happened to you? Are you all right?
I don't know. It all got too much for me, I think. I must have lost consciousness for a moment.
I know how busy you've been with all the arrangements.
Oh, Sen, it isn't that.
What's the matter? We heard your shout over the speaker stand. In fact, the mayor was interrupted in the middle of his speech.
Why shouldn't a man let out a shout if it pleases him? This is a free country, Cappy, in spite of all the silly rules and regulations that our government is weaving around us.
It's just that the mayor had got to the place where he was recommending my epic and saying that Sahitya Academy ought to award it a prize. And suddenly there was this howl. I recognized Natraj's voice and came here as soon as I could.
Thank you both for worrying about me. I think I'm all right now. It was just... I'd better tell you what the situation is. Vasu is planning to kill the elephant.
He couldn't do that.
Tonight, when the procession gets to the center of town, Basu is going to shoot the elephant from the window of the attic. Why not change the route of the procession? Or better still, why not drop the procession altogether?
And disappoint thousands of people?
We could leave the elephant out.
What's the procession without an elephant?
The superintendent of police is over there. Let's talk to him about what ought to be done.
I'll talk to him. He knows me.
This is the superintendent of police, sir.
A word with you, if you please.
Yes, what is it?
We have reason to believe that someone is going to shoot the elephant when the procession reaches the center of town.
Oh, and do you know who this someone is?
Yes, we do. His name is Vasu. He lives in the attic of Natraj's print shop.
You are Natraj, are you not?
Yes, sir.
Do you make a habit of letting out rooms to people who shoot elephants?
Of course not. You see,
Natraj has tried to get rid of the man, but it's not so easy. It was Natraj who found out about his intention of shooting the elephant and informed us.
How did you find out?
He as much as told me himself.
Just said he thought he would like to take a shot at the elephant.
What he said was that he thought that the elephant might run amok, in which case he'd be doing the town a favor to shoot it.
Does he have an arms license?
Oh, yes, he has an arms license, all right.
In that case, I don't see that anything can be done.
So, any man with an arms license can shoot at anything he likes?
But he says he's simply standing by in case the elephants should go on a rampage.
The doctor at the Government Animal Welfare Center says that Kumar is in good physical and mental health and in no danger of getting out of hand. And the Mahout told me not half an hour ago that Kumar's as gentle as can be. You can go over and look at him now.
But is the Mahout a disinterested observer?
Is Basu?
No. I'm afraid I can do nothing until there is concrete evidence that a crime has been committed.
But it will be too late then.
Begging your pardon, sir. But it isn't going to look too good in the news sheet I'm beginning to put out when it says that before the elephant was shot, the superintendent of police was informed that it was very likely to happen.
Couldn't you at least come with us when we go to see this Basu to tell him the elephant must not be harmed?
I'm afraid that's not possible. I'm the next speaker.
I assure you, sir, I shall have a full report of the speech you made at the festival, which ended in the shooting of the elephant and the death of a number of people, including women and children who were trampled to death in the resulting stampede.
I will send a police inspector with you.
Armed?
Well, of course he'll be armed.
Yeah, that should be all right, then.
I'll have him meet you by the fountain, and he can accompany you into the print shop.
Are we ready to go up, then? What about you, Inspector?
I won't be coming up with you. I'll wait down here in case you need.
If we call, you'd better come quickly.
With your weapon ready, too. All right, Nataraj?
Yes, yes.
Lead the way.
What is this? A deputation?
Can we come in?
I don't know. Can you? This isn't a very spacious room you have provided. The journalist can crowd in with the wild pig. The poet can stand in over there with the parrot. Now, to what do I owe this honor?
We want to see you about something very urgent.
Well, I don't want to see you about anything. I suppose you realize that I could easily pick up all three of you and toss you downstairs.
It's only fair to tell you that there's an armed policeman down there.
Please call him up so I can toss him down as well. There is such a thing as privacy, you know.
We have a report that there is likely to be a disturbance while the procession passes down this road tonight.
What's that to do with me?
We think you're going to be the disturbance. That's a holy elephant belonging to the people of Mempi and of Malgudi. You've no right to harm him.
So you all speak for that elephant. Has the elephant asked you to? Do you know anything at all about elephants?
I have a paper here from the veterinary doctor. It says, I have examined Kumar thoroughly. He is in perfect health, more sober than many human beings.
So what?
So it won't be possible to drive him crazy as an excuse for killing him.
You don't learn about elephants in a veterinary college. You learn about them in the jungle.
By killing them?
Precisely. What about you, poet? Why are you silent? Why don't you say something in your monosyllables? Now that's enough. Clear up, all of you.
We'll go away and leave you alone if you promise to leave our procession alone. It's a sacred function. People are out there to be with their God.
If God is everywhere, why follow him in a procession?
Hundreds of people who'll be pulling the chariot could be heard. Women and children, too.
What's this special point about women and children? Is this some kind of chivalry on your part? If men are to be caught in a stampede, why not women and children also? Isn't that more fair-minded? What's the point of saving women and children alone? What will they do after their men are stamped out? If you are a real philosopher and believe in reincarnation, you will be reborn within a moment with a brand new body. Anyway, do you know why we have so many melas in our country? So that the population may be kept within manageable limits. Haven't you observed it? Huh? At Kumbh Mela, thousands and thousands gather, less than the original number go back. Cholera or smallpox, or they just get trampled. How many temple chariots have run over the onlookers at every festival gathering? Have you ever paused to think why it rains like that?
We didn't come here to discuss philosophy.
You can go then. Get out, all of you.
Officer!
A lot of good he'll do you.
What's going on here?
Ask them. They forced their way in here, and I've asked them to leave. That's all that's happened.
You have a gun?
I have two guns. That rifle on the chair and the revolver on the table.
I want to see your license.
There you are. All in order.
Are these guns loaded?
Of course they're loaded. They're not toys, you know.
Do you have a record of all the things you've killed with your guns?
Just look around this room. That's my record. Only the animals, of course. The others I haven't killed yet.
I'll want a written record.
Shut up, Inspector. And get out.
I don't have to answer your questions. What's your authority for coming up here and questioning me?
I am acting on the orders of the superintendent of police.
Well, it's my order that you clear out and take this lot with you. They have no business here with me.
Don't listen to him, officer. Do your duty.
Shut up, you. Inspector, you are trespassing. Where is your warrant for entering private premises? Come on, produce a warrant, or I'll complain against you for trespass. These men can be my witnesses. I'll wire the Inspector General and the Home Minister. You think you can deal with me as you deal with the bullock cart drivers and cobblers and other ragamuffins you order about? Just whom do you think you are talking to?
I came here in peace to ask something of you.
What? Out with it, man!
I just want to suggest, why don't you let me hold your weapons for you in our market station? You may collect them tomorrow.
Put down that gun. I allow no one to fool around with my rifle. Put it down, or I'll...
If I have to, I'll arrest you for disorderly behavior and lock you up for the night under the Public Safety Act.
Good. Don't let him out when the procession's over.
You lock me up?
Stand back. I'm holding this rifle on you. I'm going to summon more help.
Don't blow that thing at me! Give me back my rifle!
You've attacked a policeman.
I merely kept him from doing any mischief with a gun.
My arm's broken.
You've hit a policeman and wounded him badly. He hurt himself trying to hold on to my gun when I was taking it back. I never hit anyone. Years ago, I made that a vow. If I had hit you with my fist, do you want to see what would have happened? Ah! You see?
Table has just disintegrated.
Do you know what the penalty for striking a police officer in uniform is?
Do you want to know what the consequences of trespass could be for all of you? I don't want to hit anyone. Now you see why. So get out of my room.
His room? His room? We'd better get this man's arm attended to.
Unless you for this.
If anything happens to the elephant or to the people...
Aren't you coming with us, Nakraj, to take the inspector to hospital?
No. I can't leave this place, not with him up there getting ready to shoot Kumar.
But there's nothing more we can do here.
I have to think of something. You see, it's all my fault. The trouble with me is that I can never say no to anyone. If I just said no to Vasu the first time he proposed moving in on me, none of this would be happening.
It would probably be happening, but somewhere else.
We'd better go.
Find Sastri. He must be somewhere in the temple grounds. Find him and send him to me. It's very important.
Do you think Sastri can do anything?
Sastri understands Vasu better than anyone else. He never had anything to do with Vasu, you know. He spotted him as a Rakshasa from the very first.
We'll find him.
Sastri, thank heaven you've come. Vasu says he's going to shoot the elephant from the attic window when the procession gets to the market fountain. As his excuse, he's going to say that the elephant was about to go on a rampage.
I expected something like that.
You seem very calm about it.
I'm desolate that such a thing should happen, but I don't see what can be done about it. Kavi told me about your attempt to prevent him from doing such a thing. They came to nothing, as I'd have guessed they would. You people don't know what you're dealing with.
And can't you think of anything we can do?
Pray to the gods. Only the gods can deal with Rakshasa.
That's all right for you, Sastri. You're not responsible for Vasu's being here. His presence, as far as you're concerned, is like a stroke of fate. But I let him stay here. I provided him with the premises for carrying on his murderous trade. The window from which the elephant will be shot is my window. I've got to do something. I was looking at Kumar today when Babu and all the other children were all around him, talking to him and feeding him. And I said to myself, I can't let him be killed. Mutu has the idea that we might hire Kumar out for processions in all the towns and villages around here. We could earn enough money to build a tower for the temple, which would be visible for 50 miles around. Instead of which, poor Kumar will be butchered, his head stuffed and mounted, and his feet turned into umbrella stands. No, I can't let that happen. I can't.
Is he up there now?
Yes. That woman, Rangi, may be up there with him. I thought I heard her bangles a little while ago. Maybe she's been able to talk him out of it. She hates the idea of the elephants being killed as much as we do.
He never paid the slightest attention to any of the women he took up there. He treats them like dirt.
Would it be any good if I held his attention while you quoted from the Upanishads or from the Bhagavad Gita or something?
Whenever he caught me praying, he'd laugh loudly.
But I've got to do something. I'm going up there again for a last try. Suppose I went up there very quietly,
and he was looking out of the window. I might sneak up on him and stun him from behind so he'd be unconscious when the procession passed.
You might finish off a cobra with a bamboo staff, but it's more likely that the cobra would prove smarter. I think non-violence is your safest policy. Mahatma Gandhi was right to ask us to carry on our fight with the weapon of non-violence. The chances of getting hurt are much less.
But I don't care about that. I don't care what happens to me if I can just keep Vasu from killing the elephant. After all, who'd miss me? Kamala thinks I've been carrying on with Rangi. I suppose Babu might miss me for a while, but children get over these things very quickly. I'm going up there.
I'll come with you.
Will you, Sastri? That's very good of you, and very brave. Come, we'll go up, very quietly now. I can't hear anything. Wait a minute. I think I can hear him breathing. Very regular, as though he were asleep.
Are you going to knock?
The door's not locked. There he is, sitting by the window. He is asleep. Asleep. He was waiting, his voice almost here. How can that be?
Look, beside his chair,
a half-eaten carton of palau. Rangi brought it to him. Do you suppose she put some kind of dope or sleeping drug in it? She said she was going to try to keep him from killing Kumar.
That's what she must have done. Just like Mohini.
Mohini?
The dancing girl in whose guise the god dealt with Rakshasa Bhatmasura.
That's right.
So you see, that's why I said that the only thing we could do was to pray. She had to go down and watch the procession.
But how do we know that the effect of whatever Rangi gave him will be lasting? Vasu's no ordinary mortal, you know.
What do you suggest then?
His rifle is leaning against the sill. I'm going to get his rifle and keep it pointed at him till the procession has gone by, just in case. You don't have to stay any longer, Sastri, if you want to go now.
No, I'd better stay in case he does wake up. I don't know what help I'd be, but
thank you, my old friend. I'm going to get the rifle.
On tiptoe.
I've got it. What happened? The front sight caught on the mosquito netting. I'm afraid I pulled it all down. Listen. With any luck, it'll pass by. Then I'll put the rifle back and we can creep downstairs. I'm sorry you'll miss the procession.
The important thing is that the procession takes place without any disaster.
How wrong you can be about people. Imagine Rangi having the nerve to do a thing like that. What Vasu will do to her when he finds out doesn't bear thinking about. We'll have to find some way to protect her, Sastri.
Indeed we shall. She's attached to the temple. That ought to help.
What's that?
He's just groaning in his sleep.
Look, he's moving.
His eyes are opening.
Did I fall asleep? Oh, has the procession passed?
Where is my gun?
It's here, Vasu. Pointed at your heart.
Why, you? I'll break you to pieces. Didn't you see what I did to that policeman?
I don't want to shoot you, Vasu. I've never shot at anything in my life. I'm only seeing to it that you don't shoot our elephant.
I hear the procession. It's getting closer.
Let it go by, Vasu. Let it go by peacefully, and I'll give you back your gun and go away.
You'll give me back my gun? I'll take my gun as soon as the procession is in sight. And then I'll hold you and make you watch me kill that elephant. And then I'll throw you out of the window. And you, old man, what are you going to do about it? Pray?
Don't come any closer. I'll fire.
Give me the gun.
No.
Who let those mosquitoes in? Give me that gun.
I'll fire.
You won't. It isn't loaded. I was going to put in a heavier charge for the elephant, and I haven't done it yet. You even turned the gun away from me when you test to see if it's loaded. You couldn't kill anybody. Me? I have no such difficulty. You signed your death warrant when you took my rifle and pointed it at me. They will have to say I killed you in self-defense. The old man won't dare say anything else.
Oh, no.
Those damn mosquitoes!
What in the world happened?
Don't you see? He slapped at the mosquitoes buzzing round his head. A slap so powerful it finished him. Just like Pasmasura placing his head on his forehead and reducing himself to ashes.
The superintendent of police wants to hold his investigation into Basu's death here today. You'll have to be on hand, Sastri.
Oh, the police can't understand things like this. Every demon appears in the world with a special boon of indestructibility. Yet the universe has survived all the Rakshasas that were ever born. Every demon carries within him, unknown to himself, a tiny seed of self-destruction and goes up in thin air at the most unexpected moment. Otherwise, what is to happen to humanity?
I wouldn't tell them all that if I were you. Just stick to the facts.
I have to tell the truth as I see it.
I'm not suggesting that you depart from the truth. Only that you keep to those truths that will get me out of trouble. I can tell that the superintendent of police thinks I killed Vasu.
It's all over town that you killed him. Everybody is praising you for it.
I may have contributed to it. By going up to the room that last time and taking the rifle, I may have put him in a state that proved fatal to him. But I don't want to go to jail for it.
You won't. You won't. If you contributed to Vasu's death, you were acting as God's agent.
All the same, we'd better keep to what actually happened.
Do you think we should have said anything about Rangi, about the pulao with the sleeping dragon in it?
No. There'd be no point in exposing her to their prying and questioning.
And what time is the superintendent coming here?
At 3 o'clock.
As superintendent of police of Malgudi district, I've ordered this investigation into the death of one H. Vasu. On the day of the festival, I was approached by several people who are here today. They told me that they were afraid that this Vasu might try to disrupt the procession by killing the elephant. They described this Vasu as a very evil character, capable of any villainy. Am I not correct in this?
Yes, sir.
But however bad a man this Vasu was, if an unlawful act has been performed against him, we must find and arrest the culprit. The last two people to see Vasu alive are in this room, Mr. Natharaj and Mr. Sastri. Mr. Natharaj admits taking Vasu's rifle while he was asleep, saying he only wanted to use it to keep Vasu from shooting through the window at the elephant when the procession passed. Mr. Natharaj's fingerprints are on the rifle. Is that correct, Mr. Natharaj?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Sastri confirms that statement. He goes on to say that Vasu threatened to take the rifle, which was unloaded, away from Mr. Natharaj. That as Vasu was about to act, a swarm of mosquitoes buzzed about his head, and in slapping at them, he rendered himself a mortal blow. There were several smashed mosquitoes in Vasu's head, but the account is very hard to believe. Is that what you claim happened, Mr. Natharaj?
Would one make up a story like that, sir?
Ah, possibly not. I have here a report from the pathologist. H. Vasu of Junagadh died of a concussion received on the right temple on the frontal bone delivered by a blunt instrument. Although there is no visible external injury to the part, the inner skull covering is severely injured and has resulted in fatality. Now, that report of the injury is compatible with the account of Mr. Vasu's death given by Mr. Sastri and Mr. Natharaj. It does not fit with what might seem a likely cause of Vasu's death, that Mr. Natharaj hit him over the head with a rifle he had taken. Mr. Sen, you're a man used to ferreting out the truth. Do you believe the account given by Mr. Sastri and Mr. Natharaj?
I do, and have said so in my news report. This Vasu was a very evil man with a fierce temper and a malignant tongue. I can easily imagine him in a fit of rage doing himself such an injury. He is no loss to our community. We are indebted to Natharaj for his persistence on the day of the festival in trying to restrain Vasu from a dreadful act of violence.
Mr. Covey,
I agree entirely.
I call on the police inspector who accompanied Mr. Sen and Mr. Covey and Mr. Natharaj when they saw Vasu that afternoon. Do you believe in the account of Vasu's death that has been given?
I do, sir. I told the deceased that I wished to take his rifle and keep it at the police station until the procession was over.
And what did Vasu say to that?
He jerked the rifle away, damaging my arm, as you can see.
On the basis of these depositions, which I will have drawn up for all of you to sign, I do not believe it is necessary to pursue this matter further. I shall enter a judgment of, could hardly call it suicide, although I suppose that's what it actually was. Of misadventure. Yes, Mr. Natharaj. Was there something more you wanted to say?
Just that Vasu put himself in charge of fundraising to pay for the festival. He raised quite a lot of money, but the festival committee never saw any of it. When all his belongings, including stuffed animals, which are worth quite a sum, are sold off, the money should go to paying all the bills and to providing an honorarium for Mr. Kavi, author of Radha Kalyan.
So you see, that was my connection with Rangi.
I didn't really think you had anything to do with her. I was just cross because you seemed to have been neglecting Babu and me. Now I understand why. Oh, I'm so glad you got rid of that awful man.
And the police say that I didn't get rid of him.
Everybody knows that you stood up to him. That's why he's not here to bully us and frighten us anymore. Babu can see you in the shop whenever he wants to. He's terribly excited about everything, you know. He has been telling all his friends how his father killed a Rakshasa single-handed.
In the Man-Eater of Malgudi by R.K. Narayan, dramatized by William Ash. Natraj was played by Sam Dastoor, Vasu by Bhaskar, Sen by Harmej Singh Kalirai, and Kavi by Rashid Karapiet. Shastri was Kaleen Janjua, Ramaswamy Ayub Khan Din, the police superintendent Tariq Alibai, and the waste paper man Amjad Saleem. Kamla was Charubala Choksi, Rangi Shobu Makoli, Muthu and the police inspector Paul Baisley, and Mahout Amarjeet Dew. The Man-Eater of Malgudi was directed in Manchester by K. Patrick.